welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, the only republic that still is, but you've got to keep it that way. And the way you keep it that way is go to republicbroadcasting.org. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you can click on the donate button. Yes, you can phone it in. You can mail it in. You can even PayPal it in. Do it however you want, because we're at the point where we can once again take donations. The fate of Republic Broadcasting is in the air. I think there's good people here, and it's going to work out. I think so, but it's only going to work out with your help, right? So be one of the heroes and not one of the zeros. Unless you're going to be a Japanese fighter plane, then it's perfectly okay to be a zero. And then also go to nationalbugle.com, click on the donate button. No, click on the co-certified link. That's what you do. Download the co-certified app. Make sure your sushi is non-kosher certified, especially the shrimp sushi, because I guarantee you don't want kosher certified shrimp. Today is part two of the Patrick and Jeremy show. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Patrick. What's going on in New Jersey?
What is going on in New Jersey? Probably you got, like, people picking up chicks on the boardwalk or something?
Well, you've got a Republican governor, possibly, that could be elected, but you have mail-in votes being counted days and days after the fact. Is there a hoax? Do I smell a hoax?
Well, what you got to remember about New Jersey is it's just geographically so huge and expansive that you can't expect a ballot to be dropped in a mailbox and arrive in any less than a week or two at a destination because it's just that huge.
So this FoxNews.com Cantrelli weighing recount demand in New Jersey governor race. New Jersey Republican gubernatorial candidate Jack Cantrelli.
Chi. I think an Italian would pronounce it Chi.
Chiatrelli.
Yeah.
Well, that nigga's not going to concede. Arguing that the election is still too close to call, but making it clear that they're not making accusations of fraud. That's interesting, that statement. They're not going to go the fraud route and play into the whole, you know, January 2020 election fraud of Donald Trump. Anyway, no one on this team is alleging fraud or malfeasance, as we have not seen any credible evidence of that. That's according to the campaign statement on Monday. The campaign noted that while there is around a 66,405 vote gap separating Cantrelli and the Democratic Governor Phil Murphy, there are still about 70,000 provisional ballots to be counted. Additionally, an unknown number of vote-by-mail ballots will continue to be received through Monday. That smacks of fraud to me. You got 70,000 vote-by-mails coming in, and the race is going to be decided by these 69,000 and whatever votes. They could easily hoax that. They could easily fraud that. I mean, what do you think?
Okay, so let's see. The election was already a full week ago.
Yeah.
And really, how long does it take for mail to arrive? Now, the thing about the accusations of fraud, a year ago, we had you know, a week out of the election, or even a day or two out of the election, we had, you know, the videos of the suitcases full of ballots being wheeled out from under tables after election monitors were told to go home because of a fake water main break, right? Yeah. We had all sorts of, you know, you had pictures or video of election monitors being kept in a separate room with in Philadelphia with black you know, county workers or election workers putting up paper and cardboard over the windows so that people couldn't watch. I mean, there was just so much blatant fraud. You just had so much blatant fraud. I don't know what evidence they have in New Jersey at this point. And, you know, the one thing we did have last year was a lot of wild stories concerning the election machinery, the voting machines. And the voting machines are certainly a big potential problem, but not all of the assertions and accusations made regarding the voting machines, not all of it was backed by very good evidence. And that kind of wound up detracting from the case. So I don't know. Not conceding is a good thing. And it may well turn out that during the days and perhaps weeks while he's not conceding, that they might come up with some good fraud.
Well, that seems to be the direction that they're going, with them being able to accept mail-in ballots days and days after the actual election. You know, they could push that any way they want to push it. And get rid of Citrelli and vote Murphy in.
Yeah, Citrelli, is that his name, Citrelli?
Citrelli.
I'm not seeing it. I'm not looking at it right now, but I'm just saying that from memory.
Yeah. You know, I think the point is that they're accepting mail-in ballots days after the election. And so there's the possibility of a hoax.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, here the allegation or the supposition would be that they realize they need so many votes and they just manufacture those votes and send them in after the fact. And we know that there was a lot of that went on a year ago. There are a couple of differences between now and a year ago. One is a big hunk of the country is much more aware of the potential of fraud, and maybe they can't do it so blatantly. Maybe they have to be a little more careful about it. But the other one is that having won the election, the Democrats as the ruling party are just, they're implementing policies that the vast majority of the American public doesn't approve of.
Right.
So there's a lot less sympathy towards them. You know, you had 4 years of Donald Trump being vilified. Well, Donald Trump's not there anymore. And we didn't go back to 2016 or 2015. We went into some weird dystopia where Joe Biden's trying to shove a vax needle in everybody's arm. And, you know, it's open season for racism against whites, and the borders are flung wide open. We have not gone back to the Obama administration, even though a lot of Obama administration officials are in this new administration.
Well, you've got this referendum in Virginia, with those elections, a referendum on, you know, child trannyism and all the things that the left wants to push on us were defeated in Virginia. And so the left, the Jewish dominated elite, would see a New Jersey Democrat election to be sort of a counter to that. Right? I mean, you know, that's what I'm seeing here, is that's the New Jersey election could be the answer to the Virginia election.
Mm. Well, what else you've got going on is you've got this representative. I don't know what her name is, but she was elected in 2018 in a marginal district, a suburban Richmond in Virginia, and she is saying that Biden was not elected to be FDR. He was just, you know, he wasn't supposed to transform the country. He was just supposed to bring it back to normality, and nobody wants all of this stuff. And, you know, lots of other Democrats whose seats are at risk in the next election feel the same way. And it's kind of going off a cliff. But the thing is, you know, Donald Trump won. And he was in the White House for 4 years. And even the whole time he was in the White House, and even while the first 2 years where you had Republican majorities in the House and Senate, the Democrats, or I say the Democrats, but, you know, the establishment, the deep state, the elite, they were far more effective in pushing their policies than Donald Trump was, even with Donald Trump in the White House. Now, I won't say that Donald Trump did nothing. Immigration did wind up getting slowed down, and trade, there were trade deals and all. But you still had, for instance, when they wanted to roll out the vaccine, when they wanted to roll out this COVID stuff, they were able to do that, despite Donald Trump. And Donald Trump really seemed to be pretty reluctant on the COVID stuff. And I think he got into the vaccines as thinking that it was a way to put the COVID stuff behind us, which was foolish. But I think he legitimately thought, I think that's why he went in for the vaccines.
To get reelected.
The point is that even if Republicans win the midterm elections next year, and even if you wind up with another Republican president, Republicans under Donald Trump, Donald Trump never figured out how to govern the country. And, you know, one of the things is, here we are, we had Donald Trump in office for 4 years. Donald Trump might run for president again, but is there anybody who emerged from the Trump administration as somebody who could be a possible successor, somebody who could pick up the mantle of populism? And yeah. I don't think there's a single person.
Yeah.
And
no,
you know,
I don't see.
After the Obama administration, you had all sorts of people who were, you know, vying for that. You know, you had Holder, and you had, I guess Biden himself, and you had Julian Castro, and you know, a bunch of people who looked, you know, they, or Susan Rice, people who could take up the Obama legacy. No, Donald Trump didn't have a single person who could be looked at as even kind of like a protege. Not a single one. Nobody of any consequence besides perhaps Stephen Miller. Nobody got any of any consequence, got any boost, any career boost from the Trump administration.
But even though that, you do have people on state levels that are pushing back. I wanted to go to this based Kentucky Attorney General, Daniel Cameron,
mm-hmm.
suing the Biden administration. Let's pull this article up here. And Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron sues the Biden administration over OSHA vaccine testing mandate. So there is an injunction against Biden right now, right? An injunction?
Right, which I believe he intends to ignore.
He is ignoring it. But you got this attorney general, black guy, Daniel Cameron in Kentucky, who's suing Biden, saying that these OSHA mandates are not constitutional. Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron has joined attorneys general in Ohio and Tennessee seeking to block a new federal COVID-19 vaccine testing mandate for large workplaces released on Thursday. the new rule from the Occupational Safety and Health Administration would require workplaces with 100 or more employees to have workers fully vaccinated by January 4th or submit to weekly COVID-19 testing, something expected to affect 84 million people across the country. Cameron and others allege that in their lawsuit, the loss of employees for federal contractors in Kentucky from having to comply with the vaccine mandate would harm the state's economy and worsen supply chain issues. And he's not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He's not wrong.
No. And you do, to the extent you see people on the horizon who might be based in some way, this kind of underscores my point. They're people from state government. So, you know, to the Ron DeSantis, I mean, he's does some things that we like, and but you know, he is what he is. But he doesn't come from the Trump administration. Your based attorney general doesn't come from the Trump administration. None of these people that you can look at as perhaps being rising stars come from the Trump administration. Trump didn't have anybody. I mean, even that guy who had been the attorney, I think he was the attorney general of Kansas, and then he ran for governor and lost. What was his name? He never got brought into the administration.
Well, real quick, I would argue that people like Daniel Cameron rose to power on the coattails of Trump.
But so, Trump didn't bring them into the administration.
No, but I don't know that we would have a Daniel Cameron if it were not for Trump.
No, we wouldn't. So, that's a fair point. That Trump did create a kind of populism. But my point was that the people he brought into his administration, the people that he gave career boosts to, you know, whether it's Nikki Haley, whether it's what's her name, Dina Powell, all these people that he gave, or you know, his vice president, all these, Mike Pompeo, all the people he gave career boosts to, aren't Trump people. They're not populists. They're Zionists. He didn't give a career boost to really anybody of significance via his administration. Now, the movement that came up around him, yeah, that's created opportunities, and some people have exploited that, but they weren't brought into his administration. And if he's not going to bring in people into his administration like that, no wonder it failed.
And our Kentucky Attorney General, Daniel Cameron, I mean, he's a product of the Trump movement. That's what I was saying, and I think you agree.
Yeah. So there was a Trump movement. My point is that he didn't bring anybody into the administration, and you know, he never figured out how to govern. Well, how is he going to govern if he's not bringing in like-minded people into his administration? If all he does is bring in people from the establishment.
Yeah, I mean, he should have included people like Daniel Cameron.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what it, you know, and Trump might wind up being president again. I don't think that's impossible. And the question is, if he becomes president again, will he have learned anything? And well, we shall see. But we're up at the first break, so we'll be right back.
To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Back. Okay, so we had the big climate change summit in Scotland. Did you hear about when Joe Biden was talking to the Duchess of whatever, Crown Prince, what's his name? Who's Elizabeth's son? Prince Charles. Prince Charles's wife, Camilla. Did you hear what happened? I think Biden engaged in a little bit of climate change of his own.
Hopefully he did not soil himself.
It was long and loud and what's her name? And that's Camilla? Camilla can't stop talking about it, apparently.
Yeah, what? The COP26. This is a Guardian article. Okay, so African nations want COP26 to open discussions. This mega financing deal would channel 700 BN. What is that? Billion?
Billion, yeah.
Yeah. From 2025 to help developing nations adapt to the climate crisis. Okay, I guess the African nations want money from white Western developing nations in the name of climate change. That's what I'm getting from it.
Yeah.
Well, just like black people in America want money from white people.
Well, and they're talking about climate reparations. And I had NPR on my car radio briefly, and I heard some guys, some young, obviously white guy, and he's talking very seriously about the need for climate reparations, because it's really the third world climate that's going to change, and it's white people that are responsible for it.
Well, we're responsible because of colonialization, right? We colonized these continents in the past 500 years or so.
It's really because the Industrial Revolution started in England and Europe, and so that's where the burning of carbon materials occurred first. But of course, the fruits of the Industrial Revolution have been spread all over the world. And are all the Africans going to throw away their cell phones and get rid of cars? A lot of Africans do have cars, and they certainly almost all have cell phones. Cell phones are ubiquitous around the world. Otherwise, how could you have like 4 billion Facebook subscribers if it wasn't for these people, their cell phones? Reparations. And this is going to be the push. And what's amazing to me is that these virtue signally white liberals somehow think that they can just send trillions and trillions of dollars overseas, and it's really not going to affect them personally.
Well, if you're talking about climate change in regards to humans contributing, wouldn't China and Mexico be top on the list?
Well, China and India would be high. China right now would be on top of the list. But the narrative is that we're not talking about what's happening right now. We're talking about, 250 years since the Industrial Revolution. So it's all this cumulative effect. But of course, what's happening, everything has been increasing and increasing. So the amount of carbon dioxide, the carbon footprint of a British person in 1800 compared to a Bangladesh person today would have been pretty tiny.
But I mean, isn't that what they want? These African nations want reparations because we showed them technology.
Okay, so what do you think that the Africans would do if all of a sudden the African gets a big windfall? Are they going to then develop sustainable technologies for themselves? Are they going to become sustainable, or are they, what are they going to do?
No.
What are they going to do with the money? If a bunch of Africans get windfall, where's it going to go?
I mean, they're going to use that money to buy clothes and speakers and rims for their cars. I mean, am I wrong?
No, of course. And, it's just so silly. And of course, the driver of not just climate, but environmental change is population growth. And that's where all the population growth is. So, I mean, this is where the problem is. The environmental problem of the 21st century is African overpopulation. And so let's send them a whole bunch of money.
Right, because we showed them how to be industrialized. Therefore, Western nations are responsible for Africans' contribution to the climate change, right? Yeah. Am I missing it?
That's the idea. Anyway, so it's all very silly, and I think we've got bigger fish to fry with our backs against the wall. I think there's climate change. I think it's man-made. I can't be bothered. We've got our backs against the wall. So we'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We are back. All right, so let's move to Belarus, the land of the awesome comb over. And there's stuff going on there. What are the happenings in Belarus?
Well, this is a RT article. Unable to breach Belarus-Poland border, migrants set up camp. And hundreds of migrants attempting to seek asylum in the EU have set up tents and campfires in the no man's land along the border between Belarus and Poland, with the Warsaw deploying guards to stop them from crossing. Aerial footage from the frontier showed that smoke rising from dozens of campfires and tents popping up in the forest as lines of Polish police in what looked like a military gathering on the other side. Belarus is sending migrants to Poland.
Okay, so, you know, with everything going on, it's hard to keep track of this or that particular event. But I think the long and short of it is that Belarus didn't go along with the whole EU gayness and trannyism stuff. Belarus did not go along with the vaccine stuff and the COVID stuff. And President Komover just told everybody to play hockey and drive tractors and, you know, forget about the virus. And so he's been targeted, and they tried to do the fake election, and he wouldn't have any of it. And instead of walking across the street and doing a photo op with a Bible, he walked out with his sons and I guess Kalashnikovs or whatever kind of automatic rifle he had, machine guns, just walked out, told the army, "Oh, don't worry about the protesters, we'll take care of them." And it was just a photo op, but it was a cooler photo op, frankly.
Well, my question is, where are the migrants coming from?
The migrants are like Middle Eastern, and these would be Muslim, your run of the mill, Bangladeshis and perhaps Africans, all fleeing the brutal Syrian civil war. It's that, and they would have to be coming. I guess, are they marching through the Ukraine? I don't know how they're getting there. Maybe they're flying into Ukraine. Maybe they're even flying into Belarus. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how they're getting there, because Belarus is surrounded by Ukraine, Russia, Lithuania, I guess a tiny bit of Latvia and Poland. So how they're getting there without going through other countries, or they must be going through other countries. It's not clear from the article. The article doesn't say it. But the fact of the matter is they're getting there somehow. And Belarus is just like, okay, Poland's that way. Poland's in the EU. It's that way. Go right ahead. And so they're just allowing their country to be used as a transit for wherever. I guess, are these people coming through the Ukraine? They're either coming through Ukraine or Russia, I would think, from, you know, Muslim areas. And Belarus is saying, just go right ahead. Because remember, when we had people pouring over the Mexican border until President Trump put some pressure on the Mexican government, and then the Mexican government stopped them from getting to the border. And the thing is, after all of the, you know, the COVID stuff and everything, the President Lukashenko and Belarusian government has been subjected to all these sanctions. And so he is retaliating against the sanctions by providing the EU with their greatest strength, which is illiterate Muslim rapists.
So what's the deal with Belarus and Poland? That's the next question.
Well, and it's really not Belarus and Poland specifically, but Belarus and the EU. That's where the sanctions are coming from. They're coming from the EU. It's they're retaliating against the sanctions basically by weaponizing migrants. And so they're making it easy for, if migrants want to go through Belarus, want to get into the EU, you can come this way. You know, migrants have been taking all these weird paths. There was a few years back, there was a path, I don't know how they got through Russia, but going all the way up to the Arctic Ocean. And there's right along the Arctic Ocean, there's a tiny border between Russia and Norway. And this is one of the most remote places in the world, certainly the most remote place in Europe. And yet migrants were flowing into to Europe by going into Norway. Is not even an EU country, I'm pretty sure, but you know, it's next to Sweden. They were going that way, and so these migrants are everywhere, and so not only is he retaliating, but he's also calling BS, because yeah. You know, the EU has been putting pressure on Poland and Hungary to settle refugees, right? And you know, here he's letting refugees or migrants pour into these very countries, and the EU's getting all bent out of shape about it. Like the whole thing, it's just bizarre. And you know, I don't like seeing migrants pour into the Europe, but it's what's going on. And so they're being weaponized. I don't know. Did I clear up any confusion? Probably not.
No, I think it's clear. I mean, Belarus is not taking migrants or pushing to the Poland border.
Yeah, but you look at the bottom of this RT article, and it says that Poland and Lithuania vowed to continue supporting Belarusian opposition activists, who they're going to be supporting. They're going to continue supporting these groups that are trying to regime change President Lukashenko. So they're trying to regime change Lukashenko. Lukashenko is fighting back by sending them their greatest strength, and that's pissing off the EU.
Base. So we've got the Joker returning. Did you read this one? Another Joker strikes again, burning a train down.
Well, a bullet train, no less. I'm not sure which station or which part of the country. There's a few different bullet train lines, but these are very nice trains, by the way. These trains, not the fastest trains in the world, but really, really nice. And why would anybody set a fire in one of those bullet trains? I don't know. It was a copycat, right? I mean, the guy said he's copying.
This is according to an RT article. Police in Japan have arrested a man on a high-speed train after he sprinkled flammable liquid and attempted to start a fire in one of the cars. Approximately 30 passengers were traveling in the same car as the arsonist at the time of the incident on Monday morning, according to local media. All managed to escape unscathed to the other cars while the conductor put out the fire. So this is a copycat Joker individual. And we covered this last week, right?
Uh-huh.
The Joker on the Japanese train.
So the Joker was on a commuter train in suburban Tokyo. So I just saw an AP article. This was in the southern island of Kyushu, so it was quite far from Tokyo. But they, you know, it's kind of like the far end of the bullet train line. And it was a 69-year-old guy.
Yeah.
The thing is that Japan doesn't have the same problems we have, but it has a lot. It does have a lot of problems. It's not in as bad shape as we are, but. You know, you look at it, and I think I said a week or two ago, something like 40% of men in their late 20s have given up on ever having a girlfriend, and you know they're not reproducing. They're
starting fires on trains.
Right. I mean, the whole incel thing, really. I think that was a Japanese thing. They had. What did they call them? They were like the addict people or something, and they just stay at home and watch, play video games and watch anime, and the whole waifu thing, right? Waifu just is Japanese pronunciation of the English word wife, and so this whole waifu internet waifu thing, or no, what was it? The 2D waifu. 2D is two-dimensional, and they would become very devoted to a particular animation character, an anime character. It's just sad. And you know, one of the things that Benjamin Fulford had been reporting on since the 1990s was there's an awful lot of environmental estrogen in Japan. And so the Japanese men have been basically emasculated chemically through all of this estrogen that is in all of these products. So Japan's a mess. And it does have some immigration. It's not nearly as far along that road as European countries are, but it could easily have massive problems in a decade or so if they don't get their act in shape and get their act together.
So this man was Japanese.
69-year-old, the odds are very great that any 69, his name is Kiyoshi Miyake, and that's a Japanese name. And yeah, any 69-year-old is going to be a Japanese. The foreigners there are they're younger, and the Japanese are very old. They're just not making babies, and they're living forever.
Okay, so we're almost at the end of the prep. Where do you want to go from here?
I guess it was last night. Nick Fuentes on his show was talking about something Steve Bannon said recently. So Steve Bannon has his own podcast. I've never seen it, but I'm sure it sucks. And it's called The War Room, which is like a really stupid name for a show. And he was saying, apparently Steve Bannon for a long time has been saying that, you know, we're going to cobble together some sort of coalition and rule this country for 100 years. Well, I think this time he talks about a coalition of whites and blacks and Hispanics that's going to rule the country for 100 years. And I guess he went a little bit farther than usual and said something like, yeah, in this next election, we are going to get 50% of the black vote and we're going to form a coalition that's going to rule for 100 years. And so, you know, Nick was saying that, you know, Steve Bannon and others like him, you know, they were telling Trump, okay, the way to win the election is, you know, even though Trump was elected with almost exclusively white votes, the way to win is to pander to blacks, to pander to Hispanics, to give them what they want for their issues, and then we'll put that together, a coalition, and we'll be part of it. And of course, Trump won by giving voice to issues that white people care about. So he was pointing that out. Now, the thing is, then you look at, get back to Richard Spencer. We were talking about him, his trial on one of Jeremy and Patrick last night. And, you know, when Richard Spencer was making his speeches around the country, he used a lot of narratives and rhetoric that not only would have no appeal to blacks, they frankly doesn't even have appeal to whites and is scary to people. You know, he'd be talking about the ethno state and I guess even hinting at sending blacks back to Africa and all sorts of really unrealistic stuff. Slavery, instead of saying, well, slavery was endemic all over the world throughout history, he'd say, oh, well, yes, of course whites did slavery. We're just better at it than everybody else. You know, he said a lot of stupid stuff, okay? Here's the thing, and I'm going to kick this over to you. I think, and of course, Nick's position is, you know, he wasn't talking about Richard Spencer. He was talking about Bannon, that we have to represent white interests, that the Republican Party should be a party representing white interests. And here's my take on it, is that you can represent white interests. What would that mean? That would be, well, we don't want to have illegal immigration. And frankly, we don't want to, you know, some people say, oh, as long as it's legal, it's fine. No. We want to have low immigration, okay? And because, you know, people who say, oh, these people who come in legally, you hear this all the time, people who come in legally, they contribute to the country. They want to be Americans. Oh, yeah, they want to be Americans like Obama wanted to be American, like chlamydia wants to be American. You know, these people who are immigrants or children of immigrants, Joy Reid, Ana Navarro, these people, right? I mean, no. So, but you can, you know, we want to have low immigration, and we don't want anti-white racism. You know, we can put forth the issues that are attractive to whites, and maybe they're not going to be attractive to blacks, but maybe they're not going to be super scary to them either, right? The point is that by going for white votes and in a way that's also going to be appealing to a lot of whites who don't like the edgy stuff, you as like collateral result, not your aim that result, but as a collateral result, they're going to be like your base blacks who are going to say, yeah, you know, that's actually true about, you know, we don't want the immigration either. And given a choice between the insanity that the Democratic Party is offering and a party that's pursuing white interests, which really aren't that scary to, which shouldn't be that scary to blacks or to Hispanics who actually have roots here or to Asians, you'll get some of them, you know. Will you get a majority? I don't know. You might get a majority of Asians, but you don't have to get majorities of the other. What I'm saying is you can aim for representing white interests, but it can be done in a way that it's not going to be particularly scary. And you'll probably, as a collateral result, get a certain amount of non-white votes. And there you go. Anyway, we're at the break, but I want you to respond on the other side.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are back. So, you know, you heard me talk about a party that represents white interests not necessarily being scary, might even being a better choice to a lot of non-whites than the current alternative. What do you think of that?
Well, I think meritocracy. Straight across the board, meritocracy. Those that can attain, you know, the position of power and that can be put in position of power in a white society do so on meritocracy, and that would solve the whole issue.
That's really good.
Civic nationalism. I mean, regardless of your color, race, or creed, you rise above to the top based on your performance. And that would give us a white society if you let that take its course.
So there you go. So meritocracy, even, you know, what are they going to say about that? If you're talking about meritocracy, it's so much better than talking about an ethnostate. The meritocracy. And, you know, there are going to be some blacks who say, yeah, I can do fine in a meritocracy. Some, you know, and then others, they're going to be listening to Joy Reid and those say that a meritocracy is racist. That no, you couldn't succeed in a meritocracy. It's racist. And then what are they supposed to think of that? I don't know. I think meritocracy, I think that is absolutely a great label to be using, a great talking point to be using, a great strategy, and a great objective in and of itself.
And you could say, well, I don't care about the color of your skin. How do you perform?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're protected there.
You're protected, and it appeals to the boomers because, yes, like as I explained on Stormfront today, you know, the whole racism gene, you know how some genes skip a generation? The whole racism gene skipped the boomers, and we're genetically incapable of being racist. We're totally not racist. And so that type of, if you're going to emphasize meritocracy, you can get boomers. But you can also get a good result.
Yeah, you can escape the accusation of racism while promoting the best and the highest of the society, which is going to be, you know, white European Western Christians.
Mm-hmm. And you'll get some Asians. I mean, right now Asians are only about 5 or 6% of the population, although growing, growing because of the immigration. And clamping down on immigration, saying, we want a society that works for the people who are here, okay? Not people who aren't here, or people who shouldn't be here. We want, you know, you can have a civic nationalist wrapper on something that ultimately is also white ethnic interest. You can take white ethnic interests, wrap it in a civic nationalist wrapper, and present it, and it would be presentable.
Yeah, and when you do point out that Asians do rise to the top, I mean, you can say, well, look, we're not racist. Look at these Asians.
Yep. Hey, another problem solved by Patrick and Jeremy.
Exactly.
You are welcome. You're welcome. Okay. All right. Well, with that, thank you for joining me, Jeremy.
Thank you, Patrick, and stay classy, my friend.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.